It's good to hear that we can be sure that God has forgiven us. Our salvation is secure, it's anchored. Even though many doctrines come today that make us think, but if we look into the Word of God, God's promises are true and we can claim that. I too want to take this opportunity to thank each one of you for making your stay here enjoyable. It's been a blessing. You'll be in our hearts special. We treasure you, the time we had here, and I really appreciated what I've seen here. It's been encouragement, and I told the brethren that I want to go home and just feel excited about Christian life, because we know that there are people that are serving God too with that fervent love. I'd like to thank Brother Ron too. This week has been a lot of learning for me. I appreciate much his message, topics, and thanks, brother. May God bless you. As I think of the subject this evening, the blessing of the church, what does church life mean to you? What is your experience being part of the church? God in His goodness has provided a refuge, a place of shelter. He knew that we needed it so badly. And you know, sometimes it seems that we take church life for granted. Jesus said that in the last days, and He referred to the day of Noah. He said it will be like the day of Noah when the ark was built. If we look in the book of Genesis there, when God commanded Noah to build an ark. And I wonder why Jesus kept reminding us, like the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. God provided a place of safety for Noah. And you know, I believe that is the same thing that God wants us to have today. That place of safety for that great day of destruction that is coming. You know, many people don't look at it this way. They look at church life as a lot of duties, a lot of problems, a lot of rules. But I trust that is not the way we look at it. We need to look at it the way Noah. You know, as God spoke to him, it says that Noah did all things. Noah did according to all that God had commanded him to do. So did he. Is that what God... Can God say that of me today as it comes to church life? You know, Noah could have followed all the details that God gave him to do. He could have done everything. But you know, if he had refused to obey when God says, go into the ark, it would have been no use for him. I bless in Genesis 7, verses 1, there he says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. In verse 7, it says, and Noah went in, and his son and his wife, and his sons and his wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. There's coming a day of destruction. Are we inside? Can we honestly say we're inside? You know, we have a tendency to have a foot in the world and one in the church. It's not going to work. When God closes those doors, we're either inside or outside. A couple of years ago, there was a family that was seeking a church, a very dear family. The mother and her children, her daughters, are, we'd say they're a blessing. And you know, they were visiting her church for a while. And Suddenly the father said he felt that we're a little bit too early for them. They went on. We tried to work with them, and we worked with a group that we'd say was a little bit more conservative than us, and the church got started. That sister and her children are in the church today. That man is still outside. For him, that church is too conservative. One day a brother asked him, "Give us a description of what church you're looking for." And he made a list. And the brother told him, "You know what?" And he called him by name. He says, "You want a church." The brother name. He said, "You want your church." I'm glad this evening that they don't have an Orlando church. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm glad too that it's open for whosoever will. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. The blessings of being part of a church. Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 16, I'll maybe read from verse 17 there. He says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this church I will build my church." Sorry, let me read verse 18 again. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Aren't we blessed to be a part of a church that will stand the test of time? A church that will prevail even though the waves, the storms beats upon it. Why? Because Jesus is the builder. And you know, Jesus gives us the key and says, "Come in. Come in to the church." We need to be careful. It's so easy in the day and age we're living where, you know, we want the blessings of the church, and church life is full of blessing. I say this again. I said, I don't know how I would survive with church life, without church life. The church means a lot to me. And as I gain more Christian friend, it means much more to me. I lived in the world. I became a Christian when I was 25. I didn't plan to say this evening, but the world out there was cruel. You know, I see when we live for the world, when we live for Satan. Satan wants to see us down there in the gutter. And you know, he not only wants to see us there, but he wants us to go to destruction. It's a difference. The world is cold. It's hard. Many times, you know, when we get in deep trouble, there's no one there for you. You know, you fight it, and you fight it on your own. I've had many hard experiences out there. But you know, as I look back now, and I can enjoy the blessings of being part of a fellowship, you know, why would I want to go out back there? There's nothing out there. My desire is to be all that God wants me to be in His kingdom. I want to be a builder. I want to be support the church. I want to stand beside it and be an encouragement to others. You know, God has called us out. The word ecclesia means a calling out. We heard many times this week that we were born in a sinful world, and God is calling His people to come home. And He has made the church a place where we can call home in this life, in this earth. But you know, this is just a place where we can shelter until that great day. Where are you today? There are many other organizations and groups that tries to form and do programs, organize programs where they're there for times of difficulties in life. But you see, this does not work. There are many groups today that raise funds and they have things they do to have money to help the poor and to the needy. But you know, that's not God's design. God wants us to all come together and have that same mind. Have the Spirit of God working in our lives. We were designed to that. God is still calling people today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 17 he says, "Whoever come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and spirit perfecting holiness in the fear of God." God not only asks us to come home, but he says, "I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters." That's a blessing. The God that created this world, the God that holds the future of this, we'd say, this universe and our lives in it, he asks us that he tells us that he wants us to be your father. Wouldn't a wise son and daughter say, "Yes, I want to be a child of God that controls all things"? Have you responded to that calling out? Have you said, "I renounce this world and I want to follow Jesus"? It is important. I believe as churches, I would say as brotherhood, we need to share the plain truth that people can understand, that God says that whosoever will come, he can save. God's will is that no man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All can be a part of this great body. The church is one of many blessings which God generously provides for his people. He provided for their spiritual well-being as well as physical. I'm impressed, I'm blessed in what I've experienced here these couple days, we'd say this week. It encourages me so much, and I believe this is what church life requires, what it should be like. But brethren, let's not get careless. The devil will try to come in. He doesn't like to see unity. He doesn't like to see a brother that is working together. And you know, he come in many ways. He's so subtle that he will want to bring division amongst us. May we never allow him to do that. One of the most wholesome provisions that God has made for the welfare of his people was to call them into being a church, a brotherhood, to serve as a spiritual home for them as we sojourn in this life. Jesus' precious word he gives us here about building that church. He says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." That's such a comfort. What a refuge. What a rock is Jesus. You know, we don't need to live in fear. There are many Christians today that they don't sleep at night because they're waiting for what next will happen. You know, God gives us enough in his word today that we can live and be ready with peace and joy in our hearts. That if the eastern sky will split open, you know, we can run and meet our Lord. We don't have to be hiding. We don't have to wait until certain things happen. We can live with that readiness. What a beautiful picture the church should be today to a dying world. I believe that God has His universal church. I believe that in the last days, there'll be people gathered from around this world. But one thing I want to say this evening, brethren, is God speaks to us individually. And am I really fulfilling my place where God wants me to serve Him in the church? If God has called me to be the janitor or to be a Sunday school teacher, if God has called you to be a Bible school superintendent, are you doing it with all your heart? Do you find it a joy in serving God in this way? Think about how God is expecting of you. He's waiting on you. He's depending on you to carry that responsibility. I should do it with a joy. I should do it with a reverence and not dragging my feet or complaining. I think there is a carefulness on our part that, you know, sometimes it seems that we get satisfied in having a membership. We have a membership in the church or name or enrollment. But that is not enough. Our hearts need to be in the work. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Give us a beautiful picture today in these verses. A unity. We do things together. In verse 19 it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He had consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." We heard about that a little bit earlier. We should have assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see this day approaching. We have homework to do. We need encouragement. We need to be reminders to each other. We need to be provoking each other to good works. Not to wrath, to good works. And you know, that comes in many ways. I appreciate the way you carry on amongst each other here. I think that is good. It's we need to... I don't think God meant us that we just be people that are... we can't even move. You know, a smile goes a long way. You know, and just saying something to another person can make his day. I know it in my own life. I enjoy when others even, you know, share something that could make me laugh. It blesses, it encourages us. But, you know, think of the church as a place of spiritual nourishment for the people of God. As leaders, pray for your leaders. You know, we have such awesome responsibility in making sure that the brotherhood receive that nutrition which is needful. There are times it's hard. I guess Brother Ron said that. There are times it's hard to say things that we know that are a burden to our hearts. And sometimes maybe, you know, we feel that we're... or people feel that we're picking. But we need to stand for truth, or else we stand before God guilty. And so we want to, in love, share the Word of God. And if it pricks our hearts, then we do something about it. That's the way we get nourishment. We need to be careful that, as leaders, that we don't say and share things that doesn't make sense, that cause more confusion. And we need your prayers as we prepare to share God's message. The church affords a place for the right nutrients of our spiritual health. I'm glad for our teaching, our doctrines. We don't need to feel ashamed if the rest of the world, if the rest of Christianity are forsaking what is truth. We need to stand for it. That is what will stand the rest of time. That is what God expects of us. You know, we think of the children of Israel as they were traveling through this desert land. God blessed them with manna from above. God gave them what they needed to survive in the desert. God's holy word is sufficient for the nutrients we need to travel through this life. We need not go to other stores. Today there is so much that is being offered by modern Christianity. In our visiting with, I don't remember which one of the brothers said, sometimes we read too much evangelical books books that are preaching on the doctrine of prosperity and you know, these false teaching. I believe we need to look, yes, thank God for those writers that have take time to remind us how we can apply these things to everyday life. I think it's so important. As we think of the Word of God as the holy manna, it's not only nourishing for our souls, but it is essential to the spiritual life and growth. I mentioned this morning, where are we today? Do we see growth in our life? Are we feeding from the right source? You know, we die spiritually without it. Just like people die today if they don't eat physical food. The church provides an adequate means of Christian fellowship. As human, God created us as social beings. There are people today that feel that they can serve God in the mountains by themselves. God never designed it. God never intended that we be islands. God wants us to be part of His continent. As we come together, that we form a body. The church provides a place for true Christian fellowship. The church provides a way in which I can relate to my brothers, to relate to each other. And this is vital. If we work to the highest of God's glory, we can be a light and we can fellowship with one another. What makes it more precious is when our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. I have felt this week that the presence of the Holy Spirit, I feel that God's hand has been amongst us in each one of our lives. And it's a joy. It's better than being at a football stadium with all the hollering and shouting and the wickedness that is out there. And since God has been with us, He has blessed us. He has showed us great things through His love, through His word. And I trust that He will encourage us and comfort us to keep going on. The church also ushers fundamental truth connected with human life in all faces. You know, we think of the many examples we learn from. I'm glad that God leave those examples there for us today. Sometimes we feel that the experiences we face in life, you know, it's only us. Sometimes I feel like, why do I have to go through this? But you know, as we look in the Word of God, it tells us that Jesus went through every trial. He feels for us. He knows what we're going through. Why do I murmur when these little secondary things come in my way or in my life? The church is a place where we can practice the commandments of God. The Bible says that if you love me, keep my commandments.
Jesus says that if ye do my commandments, ye are my disciples indeed. Yet sometimes in the church it seems that we try to shy away when it's time for communion. We find excuse. When it's time to practice those sacred ordinances that God has commanded us, we try to move away from it. I believe that there are times, and I appreciate much that we practice at time counseling meetings. You know, we can come and pour our heart out, and we can confess our faults. And we don't have to feel that the brother or the sister is going to gossip about my struggles. But you know, I feel it's a blessing to know that I can share the deepest hurts in my heart, and that there are people that are listening that will lift that me up to the throne of God in prayer. But you know, there's a tendency that we run away from this, or we make excuses. I feel I'm not ready to partake in communion. If we can look at it in a way that God is saying, it's like I'm telling God, no, God, I'm not ready. We can't look to God and say no. If Jesus is our Lord, we can't say no. When our Lord says, do something, we should say, yes, Lord. Because if we say no, then He's not our Lord. Especially when it comes to His commandments. I appreciate the church because it affords an orderly way in which we can worship. In the way the Lord commandments can be kept, the sacred ordinances. You know, again, what would life be without the brotherhood? I believe it's yet to be proven that someone can serve God alone by himself in the mountains. Where do we look at the scripture where it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? The church also provides for its members to be in touch with heavenly influences. The message of heaven is heard in every gospel sermon. The music of heaven is forecast in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs when God's people assemble together. I'm blessed with your singing here. You know, it puts my mind and thinking of God's eternal throne when we'll be there together, singing in eternity. In the church, the glory of heaven is seen just as ahead as we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When we worship God in spirit and in truth, oh, what a beautiful sight! What a blessing! Is that your experience? We certainly need the ministry and fellowship and shelter of the church to keep us in touch with heavenly influence and power. You know, there are times when we get weary, we get lonesome, we face the hardships of life. But you know, going to church, going to an assembly with a brotherhood, you know, it adds much life. It can be a blessing and encouragement to continue. The church provides a place where we can combine our efforts to be effective witness for Christ. What a blessing. You know, sometimes we don't get the opportunity to meet people individually, and maybe we don't have enough time to go from house to house and sharing the gospel. But you know, as we come together, you know, the efforts that are made, You know, maybe there are many people that are passing here on the highway. But as they see you working together, as they see you praising God and enjoying each other in fellowship, that's a message. It is a tremendous message. Maybe it speaks to them more than if a preacher preaching hellfire behind the pulpit. And sometimes yet, on Sunday morning we say, oh, it's just another day to go to church. Is that what it means to you? Are you excited? On Saturday night, as you take time to pray and prepare yourself, are you excited about what God is going to deliver to you Sunday morning? Do you come with your hearts open? Church life is a blessing. It's a place where God wants to manifest to the world that He can do great things and He's able to do all things. True frail people, true people like you and me that make mistakes. I count it a blessing, a privilege that I could be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ and His wonderful program. It's not because of what I can do, but it's because of what the Lord can do through me if I allow Him. You know, God takes us as individuals with differences and shows us to work together. And the only thing that why we can work together is because He lives in us and we can work for Him. I thought of Jesus' prayer there in John 17. Maybe we could turn to the book of John 17 there. You know, Jesus meant that we be a light in this dark world. Maybe I'll read this. Some of these verses here in John chapter 7, he says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had thee, before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou gavest me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilling himself. I have given them thy word, and the world had hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that thou also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Maybe I just continue reading there. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world had not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name. I will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me be in them, and I in them. What a beautiful prayer. And you know, sometimes we think, well, Jesus prayed for his disciples. But you know, that prayer is for us today. That's a tremendous blessing, a reminder to us. You know, Jesus saw that we were going to face difficult times. And you know, he's asking God to be merciful to us, to put his protecting hands over us, to preserve us. Because he knows that it wouldn't take much for us to give up. It wouldn't take much for us to, you know, follow the wrong road. God not only places us here on earth to work in his vineyard, but he wants us to enjoy work as we work for him, and to encourage ourselves as he works in each individual lives. But also as he works amongst the brotherhood, it is a blessing when we see growth in our own lives as well as our brothers' lives. It encourages us. You know, even in times when he corrects us in love. Also, we see through the church, it provides a way that we become more and more like Christ. Church life should be an experience where, you know, we have no desire to separate ourselves, to segregate ourselves. Like I mentioned there in the beginning, Noah could have built that ark, and he could have went all the way and made sure all those animals got in. But if he never stepped in as God commanded him, he would have lost out. God made provisions today for us, and we can't find an excuse. We need to take it for what it is. There's a day of reckoning coming. I encourage each one of us to make sure that we have been accepted into the Beloved. We're not here to, and we shouldn't be here to judge, condemn, but I believe God puts in every one of us a clear mind, a clear heart to know where we're at. We can know if we are in that ark. We can know if we are in that ark. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Says there, if we believe not, yet he abided faithful, he cannot deny himself. God has given us his word, but if we do not take it for what it is, then that doesn't change his promise, his plans for us. I believe it's in 1 John chapter 3, verse, I won't take time, but it says, and every man that had his hope in him purified himself. And, you know, there won't be another chance after the Lord returns. You know, if we're not prepared, if we're not in the ark today, if we're not in the church, God is still giving us opportunity. But you know, when the trumpet sounds and we're not in, it's going to be a sad time. I would say that there is nothing so hard, difficult. There is nothing so dear to my heart that will want to keep me from being where God provided for his people. May God bless each one of you.